Dear Lord, help us to hear your voice speaking in our hearts and to learn to answer it. Amen. The year was 1974. It was summer, about 10 o'clock at night, a hot, steamy summer night. I was sitting with my first wife, Pam, and the fact that it was so hot and humid made the fact that she was 9 months pregnant all the more unbearable. We were trying to survive the night and decide if we could eventually try to get to bed, when all of a sudden the phone rang, 10 o'clock at night. Pam said, "Who could that be?" I went to the phone. It was my mother. "Hello," I said. "Is the baby born yet?" she asked. "Mom," I said, "if the baby had been born, I would have called you." And she said, "Well, it's due any time, right?" And I said, "Yes, yes, it's due any time, but you know, it's been forever, and I think it's going to take forever." And she said, "No, it's going to be born tomorrow." I said, "You're sure about that, huh?" And she said, "Well, you know, tomorrow's a special day." And I said, "I know. Tomorrow's a special day." She said, "It's going to be born tomorrow. I'm sure of it." Now, this might not have been quite as strange as it might sound, because my mother is a professional midwife. She said, "I know what you need to do. You need to go for a walk right now, and it will be born tomorrow, I promise." And I said, "Right now? It's 10 o'clock at night, Mom." She said, "I don't care. Go for a walk, the two of you. Go for a long walk, I promise you." So after I'd hung up, my wife said to me, "Who was that?" I said, "My mother. She says that we should go for a walk, that'll bring the baby to come." She said, my wife said, "We're going." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, let's get out of here. I've had enough." So we went outside, and in those days, we lived in a tiny little town of 200 people north of Pittsburgh that had one street going one way and one street going the other way, and that was it. So we walked down the one street and back again, then we walked down the other street and back again, and because that took about 4 minutes, we set off through the fields, following the road through the fields. And we walked, and we walked, and it did feel good, a little bit of a breeze, until finally we reached what felt like almost a cave. There was an archway of trees that formed such a deep darkness that entering it, it was just like entering a cavern. We took a few steps inside, and it was just as black as it could be. We just stopped. And I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And I thought, well, we can't really go on. I can't even see the way. But then, just at that moment, it was as if the night was suddenly filled with stars. And I looked around. What was this? And it took me a moment to realize, because the stars were kind of flitting back and forth. And then it occurred to me. Fireflies, hundreds of fireflies, and it was just magical. And we just stood there and looked, completely enchanted by what we saw. As I look back on it, it seemed like that moment was the perfect introduction for what was to follow. Because we went home and did go to sleep that night, but at 5 in the morning, my wife woke me up, and she was carrying a glass of orange juice, and she said, "Here, drink this." And I woke up, and I said, "Well, thank you, but why? It's 5 in the morning." And she said, "Well, because we have cake in the kitchen, and I want you to get to the cake right away." And I said, "Cake at 5 in the morning?" She said, "Well, I'm not sure if we're going to have time for it later, because I'm in labor." I said, "Okay." Immediately I lost interest in orange juice and cake, and I said, "Let's go," because we had a 60-mile drive to the nearest hospital. So we got in the car, and I went as fast as I could go, actually well above the speed limit, thinking to myself, boy, I just hope a cop pulls us over, because I had it all worked out. I was going to say, officer, my wife is pregnant. Could you please get us to the hospital as quickly as possible? And I imagine a siren going and red lights blinking. But wouldn't you know? No cops. But we managed to get to the hospital. Tiny little place with a tiny little maternity department. Matter of fact, we were the only ones there. My wife had already decided that she wanted to have the baby naturally with no medication. So the nurse, they were very much opposed to the idea back then. And the nurse kept resisting her and kept saying that she had just had something to take away the pain. But my wife kept driving her away. And so it was for a long time, it was just the two of us in the labor room as she went through that long marathon of pain, and I sat there doing the little things that they give to husbands to do to make us feel not so completely useless, like time the contractions, you know, these essential things like that, and breathing along with the labor, like some of you have probably done this, until at the point where it seemed like it was probably going to go on for weeks, the nurse came in and said, okay, we need to move you to the delivery room. So she wheeled her in, and there were just four of us there, just Pam, myself, the nurse, and the doctor. And the doctor took one look and said, all right, you're close. A couple more pushes. Give it a try. Give it a try once. Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, I think the next one's going to do it. And she leaned up and pushed. And all of a sudden, I heard a little cry. And the doctor looked at me and said, congratulations. You've got a healthy boy. And my wife looked at me and said, well, I'm sorry we never got to the cake, but happy birthday. And the nurse just looked at us and said, what? She's kidding, right? It's not really your birthday, is it? And I said, no, it's really my birthday. And she said, oh, my gosh, what's she possibly going to get for you next year? But at that point, well, it did occur to me to suggest twins, but I've been grateful ever since that I did not say that right then. At that moment, the doctor looked at me and said, well, you don't look like you're doing anything here. And all of a sudden, without warning, I had in my arms this little bundle. Hadn't been washed. The umbilical cord was still attached. And he said, hold this for me while I'm busy. So I just held this little creature. And at that moment, it was as if everything else vanished. As if there were no one else in the room. And I looked at him and I thought, it's a person. Because, you know, all these months I had been thinking about little else but the baby. But it had just been that, the baby, something really abstract. And now all of a sudden I saw that this was a little human being. And somehow that had never completely occurred to me before. And I remember just looking at him, and he looked back at me, and his little hand pushed through the blanket, and I thought to myself, where did this life come from? Where had it been 1,000 years ago? Where had it been 100 years ago? Where was it last year? And then I thought, and where is it going to be in a year? In 10 years? In 100 years? In 1,000? And at that moment, I realized that none of those questions mattered, because I also was aware that I loved this little person more than any other human being on earth. This person I had met seconds before. And I thought to myself, where did that love come from? Not from me. Not from me. And I knew at that moment that I had been given a mission. So, what does it mean to be called? What does it mean to be called? That's the question of today's readings. It begins with Samuel, a little boy that had been dedicated to the temple and served his job under Eli, the chief priest. His jobs, because he was a child, were simple. His main one was to sleep in the sanctuary to make sure that where the tabernacle was, to make sure that the candle never went out. So that when he awoke in the middle of the night and heard his name calling, he just assumed that it was Eli calling. Because as it says in the text, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And visions were uncommon. So it never occurred to him that it could be anything else. And as in the course of any good story, this happened three times. He went in to Eli, but each time Eli said, no, I didn't call you. And only at the third time did it finally occur to him what was going on. And so he said to the boy, if it happens again, say, Lord, I'm here. Your servant is present. Speak. What this story is about, more than anything, is about the fact that God calls us even in ages when we don't think it happens. Even when it seems rare for God to speak, God is speaking. And with that observation behind us, the lectionary then goes on to talk about Nathanael, one of Jesus' disciples. But before he was called, his friend Philip came to him and said, we want you to meet Jesus. We found him, the one that Moses has talked about and the prophets. He comes from Nazareth. And Nathanael, being a little bit of a smart aleck, says, what good comes out of Nazareth? But Philip won't have it. He says, come and see. So Nathanael goes, skeptical, and Jesus looks at him and says, oh, I know you. I saw you under a fig tree. And Nathanael's amazed. That's all he needs. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And you can see Jesus look at him like, that convinced you? Because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? Stick around, buddy. You're going to see a lot more than that. You're going to see angels ascending and descending. A reference, by the way, to Jacob, the story of Jacob in Genesis 28, where Jacob falls asleep and wakes up to find angels rising, climbing a ladder, and descending a ladder. Probably a reference to the fact that when Jesus walked by Nathanael, he had been sound asleep, which is why Nathanael hadn't seen him there. But that's another point, that sometimes when God speaks to us, it can be in the most ordinary way. Because God was speaking to Nathanael through whom? Through Philip, his friend. Philip was just saying, come and see. But God was speaking. So, sometimes God speaks to us in our life the way God did to me, with the birth of a child. Sometimes God speaks to us in the quiet of our heart. as God did to Samuel, perhaps in the middle of the night, perhaps elsewhere. But sometimes he speaks in the most ordinary ways, the most ordinary, through the most ordinary people, through the people that we know. So let me tell you, for example, when Jeannie announces later on that we'll have an opening for helping out with SMUM on the 20th of this month, that's Jeannie speaking. That's also God speaking. And when she tells us that ECA needs some extra help with their warming center right now, that's God speaking. That's God speaking. We have the option to listen or not. And if we listen, if we don't listen, if we just turn away, God doesn't smite us. God doesn't reject us. God doesn't hate us. God just closes the door and waits for another opportunity. But I'd like to invite all of you to take the opportunity that when you hear God calling, to do three things. First of all, recognize it for what it is. Recognize God's call in all the ways that it can come. And second, say with Samuel, "Here I am, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening." But third, when the call comes, seriously consider saying, "Yes, Lord. Let me try something unusual. Let me step out of the life that has got become comfortable for me and try something new." The whole world is open to us. It's God that's offering.